You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Can you guys stop arguing about UFOs? Like, Seton and Pauly are back and forth. That Pauly thinks Seton's crazy. Seton thinks Pauly's crazy. Seton believes in UFOs. Pauly doesn't. Yes, Pauly.
Right before the show started, moments before you're about to go on air, the open plate, and Seton turns to me, and not in a joking way, he goes, seriously, bro, you don't believe in UFOs? And I think I said the same thing back to him the other way. I said, seriously, you do?
Yeah, there was like a comment made about how absurd it is to believe in it. I'm like, I don't know.
I believe
in
UFOs.
Seems pretty true. It's like, because even like when we start cutting down to it, it's like, oh, no, I believe in UFOs. I just don't believe that UFOs from other planets are coming to visit us. It's like, so you kind of believe in UFOs.
You don't believe a UFO would come to visit Baker Mayfield is what you're saying.
No, but I think Baker Mayfield could have seen one.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember when Sam Darnold said he saw ghosts in the pocket? Like, nobody ripped him and said, there's no ghost, Sam. Baker got ripped because he saw UFOs. Yes, Todd.
And then Seton said to Pauly something along the lines of, so you don't believe there's any type of life forms at all in the entire galaxy? It's just us here and that's the end of it?
Yes, Pauly.
Well, that might be different. Like, I could believe that there's plants on other planets and some type of life form in the process of evolving. But I don't know that they simultaneously at the same time as us have spaceships. Like, we have spaceships and they have spaceships. We drive by each other.
What do you think they would think if they tuned in to TNT's, Inside the NBA and they saw Shaq or they saw Barkley? The aliens would have a harder time figuring out that there's somebody that's Shaq or Barkley. Ernie Johnson segue. Ernie Johnson Jr., by the way, Inside the NBA Sports Emmy Award-winning studio show. They have a documentary. It's a four-part documentary series. And first part was last night. First episode aired last night. Part two tonight, it's The Role Player at 9 Eastern. And Ernesto Johnson Jr. III joining us on the program. Good morning, Ernie.
And I think, good morning, Dan. I think the answer to your question is, why do those UFOs never land? As if they did see our show, they would just zip past. That's for sure. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Pauly brought up a question to me right before I turned on the microphone to talk to you. And he said, how did Ernie get the job as the host of Inside the NBA? How did you get that?
I was working in Atlanta at a station you remember, a local station there, because you were at CNN at the time. I was working for WSB. I was the weekend sports anchor. And the folks at Turner called one day and said, hey, would you want to come and work with us? Because we have this role for you as the host of our Wide World of Sports type show called U.S. Olympic Gold. And so we'd like you to host that for about a year and then become the host of the Goodwill Games in Seattle. And I said, that sounds good. I'll do that. There was really not much talk about the NBA at that point. As things worked out, there was a bit of a power struggle at the top of the Goodwill Games organization in between the time I was hired and the time that the Goodwill Games happened. And so Larry King became the host, and he had Hannah Storm and Nick Charles as his co-hosts, and I was assigned to all the sports that Bo doesn't know, as I referred to it at that point, judo, team handball, modern pentathlon. I was kind of a jack of all trades covering things at the Goodwill Game. So that didn't exactly shake out the way it was supposed to, but certainly in the long run, when they asked me to host the NBA, that was a pretty good career move.
What was it like when Barkley first came to town?
Oh, I think we're all pumped. I mean, who wouldn't be? Because this was like landing the biggest free agent in history. And especially what made it even better, in a way, was we had kind of resigned ourselves to the fact that he was going to go to NBC, he'll be over there with them. But Will keeps doing our thing. And Kenny and I, really enjoyed working together. But man, when you land that, it's like, oh, this is going to be so much fun. And my only question at the time was, when the novelty wears off, is Charles going to say, okay, that's enough of this. I've done three shows. Now, what else is there in my life? So, fortunately, he's been with us for like 21 years or 20 years now. So, no, it's he's been Dan, as you know, he's been tremendous. And the whole key to that is he hasn't changed from the person he was as a player to the person he is on TV. And I think that's the danger. If you say all of a sudden, yeah, I've been kind of this outspoken guy and always, you know, always opinionated. But when the red light goes on, now I'm going to hush up. And that's, he's been so far over the edge on that. It's not even funny.
And I know that I don't mean this literally of rehearsing. How much rehearsing do you do? But we have these meetings before a show where you kind of go over topics that you're going to bring up, or you might clue somebody in on a joke that you might, a prank you play on somebody else. But how much of what is said on the show itself are you aware of before the show?
None of it, really, from those guys. No, not from them, because the production meeting, I'm in there with Tim Kiley and Jeremy Levin, who's ever producing that night. And, you know, and about 20, 25 other people are on the call now on these Zoom production meetings.
Oh, Shaq and Charles and Kenny aren't in on
No, those? No. They've never been. And okay. And the thing is, part of that was by design, but part of it was like, they were like, I'm not going to sit in a meeting for three hours before we go on the air. And it just works out better for us, because if we do have something we want to spring on Kenny, an old piece of video where he gets his pocket picked at midcourt and somebody dunks, we don't want him saying, oh yeah, Kenny, get ready, because in the third segment of postgame, we're going to show this. So that's what we want to do. We just want to be able to spring things on people. And like the other night, we you know, made up this game show for Shaq based on the fact that he, you know, Pascal Siakam the week before, I had said, you got your eye on Pascal. And he said, no, I got my eye on Siakam. And it's like, so the next week we had a game show on the air. And could you name what's the first name of these players? And I told him, and I even told Shaq, I said, look, here's our stat sheet that we get from Elias or whoever. And so every name I'm going to give you, it's either in the top 20 of a department or the top 10 of a department. So, you know, here it is. Here's the last name, Monk. He plays for Charlotte. Eli. No, Malik. Okay. It was just what we do.
But do the producers have the green light, Ernie? I know it feels like the talent has the green light, but producers poking Hall of Fame players, everything, are you allowed to, you know, suggest something that might hurt somebody's feelings or make them uncomfortable?
Yeah, I think we've done this long enough to know that no one's feelings are going to get hurt. If that were the case, then there wouldn't be a docuseries right now. People would have bailed on the show. I'm talking about people who were on the show long ago, because every one of us has been in the crosshairs from the other guys. So,
but Shaq does poke Charles. It feels like there's a little bit more tension. No,
it's man. Did you see Shaq the other night on the wrestling thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Shaq knows drama. Shaq knows TV. Shaq knows what's good. You know, so if Shaq's going to raise his voice at Chuck because they can't agree on exactly where Kristaps Porzingis should be in the Dallas offense, it's not that they're going to step out in the parking lot. It's just, you know, it's good conversation, but it's never forced. It's never something like, well, Shaq's just going to take this position so that we can have an argument on the air. It's just these guys have different philosophies on the game. So, no, but please rest assured, there is not going to be this heavyweight bout of, you know, 700 pounds of humanity wrestling on the floor.
Have you ever gotten hurt?
Have I ever gotten hurt?
On the show.
Doing what?
Like you're sort of in between those guys, or you're just sort of an innocent bystander, then you somehow you're getting, you know, it's collateral damage?
No, Dan, you know me. I'm a sensitive guy. I've only had my feelings hurt. There's been no physical pain.
It's emotional. Emotional pain. I get it. Why are we having All-Star Weekend?
Well, I think because it's a tradition, and it's because obviously there are monetary issues that you know, I'm the last guy to ask about what something's going to mean from a fiscal standpoint. But I think, I mean, the commissioner was pretty forthright about that. He said, yeah, look, we want to do this. And it looks like the fans want it because there's so much voting and that kind of thing. But he also was like, look, we need to do this financially. And so having it in Atlanta certainly reduces all the travel for all of our folks, because, you know, we have the game on TNT. So there's nobody flying cross country or flying here and there and that kind of thing, and all the equipment's here. So that's why we're having it. I was surprised. You know, I didn't think, you know, when the word came down that there was going to be one, I was surprised. I thought, just from my view, it was going to be, well, let's get to the All-Star break, and then everybody sit back and take a deep breath and say, hey, we did this. All right, now what can we do on the second half? But again, they have their reasons for doing it. And I'm in a few hours, I'm heading down to the Omni Hotel to quarantine for a couple of days and get tested today. I was tested last night. I'll get tested again today and tomorrow, and then go to the arena Sunday, and we'll do the thing.
The 4-part documentary on Inside the NBA. You can see it on TNT. Tonight is The Role Player. That's part two. What's the best item in your man cave or your office there?
Picture of me and my dad is pretty cool right there.
Oh, over your right shoulder?
Yeah, right there. From back in 59, I believe, his last year with the Braves. That was from like a father-son day. What else we got here? There's Georgia jersey that says Poppy, which is what my grandkids call me.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of stuff in here. We call this the room, because my dad sent me a clipping one time from the AJC that talked about our high school baseball game. And then he said, here, put this in the room when it's built. And so, you know, he says that back in the 80s or the 70s. And so my wife and I said, you know what, we're going to make the room. So we just got a bunch of stuff in here, man. I have a very hard time throwing things away.
Any sports Emmys in there?
There's one right there.
Oh, okay.
There are a couple of others upstairs.
Probably should have my name on it.
Oh, without question. Yeah, I know. Without question.
Have you ever won it and felt guilty that I was out there in the audience and I didn't win it?
Yeah, I'm going to try to answer this in a way that doesn't sound like it's, you know, mamby-pamby BS. Whenever my name is called on that thing, it's like, how did that happen? Because I always look out there and I see, and you look at the list of guys, and every year it could go to anybody, any of those, you know, five that are nominated. But there's a special bittersweet feeling when you leave the stage and you and I lock eyes and I.
But I always wonder when I see you win, like, how did I not win when we lock eyes? So, like, how did that happen is what I say.
That's an upset for the ages. How did that happen?
Yeah, but I will say I am pretty phony when it comes to applauding, because, I mean, I'm used to being there with Bob Costas. So when Costas doesn't win, I go, I'm in. Like, this is mine. And then,
yeah, when he's not nominated, everybody feels like,
oh, we're thrilled.
He got a chance.
And then all of a sudden, and the winner is Ernie Judge. And then I'm like, I got to be really quick, because I like you and I root for you. But after a while, I don't like you and I don't root for you.
that's so kind of it. But you know what? What's funny is when you... It, just to the point we made, when for so many years when Bob was nominated, it was like, okay, good, I'll go, but I'm just going to be there to cheer for Bob, you know, when his name is called. But those times when, hold on, I'm nominated, Costas is not the guy who's won 857 of these bad boys, we got a chance.
I don't know if I ever told you this story, but there was one year when Costas wasn't nominated for the best studio host. And I'm nominated along with Chris Berman, and I'm not sure who else was nominated, but I'm at the table. They had tables back then, and I'm sitting there, and Chris Berman is talking to a couple of producers. Scott Ackerson was one of our producers. Bob Rauscher was a producer. He's telling them that, I got to thank Tommy Me. So he's going down the list of everybody he's going to thank. And then he looks at me and he goes, eh, good luck. Well, I win the sports Emmy, Ernie. I come back at the table and it's as if I walked into a wake. I call my wife and I and she goes, you don't sound excited. I go, oh, hon, it's bad. I walked out of the sports Emmys after that, went down to Clark's and had a drink. I brought the Emmy and I sat at the bar with my Emmy and I just had, I had a couple of beers because I couldn't just sit there.
By yourself?
Yes. Yes.
Oh my God. What an image.
I know, but I felt bad that, like, Chris, the reason why I won is that Chris opened the door for us to be able to have fun on SportsCenter. Really, Chris right. is as influential as anybody who's ever done this. But I felt bad. I'm just there with that sports Emmy, and he's right across the table from me. And I felt terrible. And I just remember going, I'm going down the street, and just went to a bar, sat there with my Emmy, drank. Oh, yeah.
My.
Yeah.
What a touching and disturbing story.
Yes, thank you. That is the title of my documentary. It's a four-part documentary. Touching,
touching and disturbing.
The Dan Patrick story. play nice this weekend, by the way, okay?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. Hey, by the way, yeah. Chuckster will not be with us for All-Star coverage.
Oh, his daughter's getting married?
Yeah.
How about
Christiana?
Pat? Do you think he cries? Do you think he cries?
Oh, no doubt.
I love it.
Oh no, he's crying right now. I mean, it's not. You know what? And I've been down that road, and it's fine.
Did you cry?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I did. But you know what? And see, I'm a sucker. You know the movie Father of the Bride,
yeah.
Steve Martin,
because yeah.
that always tears me up. And so I actually tried to circumvent me crying too much at Maggie's wedding by watching the movie like two nights before, just trying to get it out of my system. And all it did was exacerbate the situation. Something, I mean, cause I mean, you're sitting there and you're about to do it and you look in your daughter's eyes and it's just like, oh my goodness.
I got to do it three times, Ernie.
But I wasn't a mess though. There's this great part. There's this horrible part, but When they mesh together, it just makes for the most unforgettable, cool day. You'll never forget it. You got to do it three times?
Yeah, I got three daughters.
Yeah, I've got, I'll be doing this again at some point too. But it was, you know, to do that. And I was also the best man at my son Eric's wedding. So I've had these wonderful, incredible moments. And so if anybody ever has fun, say, oh, is anybody going to cry? You go ahead, man. If there's ever a reason to cry, it's moments like this.
I have suggested to my daughters that all three get married on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
Cut cost and cut down on the tears.
That would be unique. You know what? I think when Eric and Maggie both got married, they got married a month apart in the same year.
Mm.
So that's why I'm going to be working until I'm 93.
Ernie, great to talk to you. And happy to play a role in some small part in the documentary series.
No, I meant to say that too, Dan. I'm sorry because, no, they had so many. They talked to so many folks, you included. And the way our editors and everybody, I mean, they've done a spectacular job. And I don't know if you've watched the whole thing or any of it at all. But the way they put this thing together and with the comments of folks like you and Wilbon and others and Common and you name it, it's just they did a spectacular job. And it's not me just saying, hey, this is great because it's about our show. But there are times when you watch a show, watch a documentary, something like this and say, man, is that well put together? It really is. So thanks for all your kind words about the show, man. You were awesome.
And if you win another Sports Emmy because of this documentary that I've been praising, that doesn't mm-hmm. seem right, though.
If that happens, I'm just I'm going down to Clark's.
By yourself?
By myself.
With your Emmy?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Set me up, Sal.
Yeah. Well, have another round. Thank you, Ernie.
Have a great weekend.
See you, buddy. That's Ernesto Johnson Jr. III, TNT Inside the NBA. And part two of that four-part documentary tonight, 9 Eastern. It's called The Role Player. Take a break. Yeah, Paulie.
I don't know if you remember this, but we had Barkley on. It had to be 15, 16
years
ago.
Do we want to take a break and come back with this?
It's just to put a bow on his daughter's getting married this weekend.
Yeah.
You asked, because I think he just had a daughter, or like his second daughter. I don't know what it was, but you said you have a... Like
well, I've known Charles for...
Forever.
30-plus years.
And you were offering him advice on having daughters. And he goes, Dan, here's my plan. He goes, the first boy that comes over, I'm going to kill him. He goes, the word will get out. No boys will come over. He goes, I'm Charles Barkley. No one's going to prosecute me. Everyone loves me. That's what he told us.
21 after the hour. We'll come back with phone calls after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Oh, Discover, the Discover credit card, because any credit card can offer cash back. But only, and I mean only, Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. So it's like getting a birthday card that is shaped like cash, has cash inside, but in this case, it's stuffed with your first year cashback match. You don't even have to send a thank you note. Cashback match is what it's called. Only by Discover card. Learn more at discover.com/match. Discover.com/match. Discover, something brighter. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Players Championship will take place, TPC Sawgrass, March 11th through the 14th. You can watch on Golf and NBC. It's a meat Friday. Our thanks, as always, to the great folks at Traeger. You want to order a grill or pellets, whatever you need, they got it all. TraegerGrills.com/DP Show. Saw where the Kansas City Chiefs have a new stadium naming rights deal. It's not going over well on Twitter. McLevin, do you know how this is pronounced? Like, Kansas City's home football field is going to be called?
See, I don't know if you just say the letters or if you try and pronounce it. And it's G-E-H-A. Gaha?
Gaha? Giha? Or is it the G-E-H-A stadium?
I guess it's a G-E-H-A. So... What is GEHA, you might ask?
But I thought it was Arrowhead Stadium.
Now it's, no, come on. Arrowhead, everything's sponsored now.
Yeah, see.
It's GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium.
Oh, okay. But that's going to be on the field itself. I'm going to guess that they're paying for a logo on the field.
Right. It's like, you know, Jimmy Lipper Court at Cameron Indoor.
It's like Lute Olson Court, right. I think, at Arizona. Yes, yeah. Paulie.
Do they think that any Chiefs fan's going to go, hey, kids, get in the car and go down to Giha this weekend and watch the Chiefs?
Giha!
You know, like some of the stadiums, they do catch on. Like Heinz Field with Pittsburgh, it's more easy to say. It's a product people know. You know, that's not that hard, you know. But Raymond James Stadium, Tampa, you get used to it. But there's some places that don't have them. Like,
well, Wrigley Field.
Yeah, that's a... was owned by the Wrigley family.
Yeah.
Soldier Field, Chicago. The White Sox Park has changed 5 times. People still call it Comiskey.
Well, I can't keep up with Pac Bell in San Francisco. It's usually after a phone company, but I just go, it's San Francisco Ballpark, and it's one of the best ones in baseball. One of my favorites. Might be my favorite. Yeah, Paul. Or McLevin.
I'll be honest. Raymond James is a company, not a person. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it's like an investment company.
Like Edward Jones Dome, wasn't it, for St. Louis?
Yeah.
I have all of them here.
SoFi Stadium.
All right, I'll name the team, see if you can name the sponsor. Minneapolis, the Minnesota Vikings. What's it name?
Isn't that that's a bank, too.
That's right.
It's like a trust.
You were almost there. U.S. Bank Stadium.
Oh, yes. Bank Stadium.
The Jaguars.
Jaguars.
It should fall off your lips. TII Bank Field, Dan.
Well, whenever I knew a stadium was sponsored like that, I would try not to say the sponsor name. I would go out of my way when I did the highlights that I was not going to give you, no. Let's go down to, now sometimes you would say it and you didn't even realize you were saying it, but I just didn't want to go, I'm going to give you a plug, because you're not paying me to give you a plug. Yeah, Seton.
It's funny, though, that in a sport like, say, football, baseball, basketball, when there's a sponsor name change, it's like, oh, my God, that's how are we ever going to do it? Whereas NASCAR, like, it's literally only sponsors. It's the FedEx Cup, you know, or like, hey, what are you? Oh, Jimmy's racing Nextel this year. Oh, no kidding. He's in Nextel. Wow, that's great.
Or a golf event changes its name.
It's literally only sponsor names.
Yeah, Paul.
Raiders Stadium is, what's the sponsor? Tuffy.
Allianz. Oh.
You're so close. Allegiant.
Oh, Allegiant.
The Seahawks. Lumen Field.
No, I would not have got that
the
one.
The 49ers you may get.
Levi.
Levi Stadium. The Browns. This is a tough one.
Wait, is Levi like the jeans Levi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't have a tech company sponsoring San Francisco? That's amazing.
The Cleveland Browns. I don't know.
First Energy Stadium. Miami Dolphins.
SunTrust.
I think that you were right 3 years ago.
Hard Rock.
Oh, okay.
And the rest are pretty, the Colts.
I don't know.
Lucas Oil.
Oh, Lucas Oil. That's
great,
right.
Great engine treatment.
Yeah.
Eagles one is pretty good. You know that, right?
The Link.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
These veterans stadium was the worst.
The Ravens.
Well, no, the stadium itself was the worst.
Yeah, yeah.
Not,
the name
not
was
calling it veteran. You know, let's
clarify.
Wow, McLovin hates veterans.
Clarify. The Baltimore Ravens.
Theirs is a bank too. It's like something NT.
Man, you're good at this. MT Bank or MNT Bank Stadium.
Yes, McLovin.
By the way, GEHA is Government Employees Health Association. So maybe you say, hey, let's go down to the Government Employees Health Association field.
Thanks, Dad.
Oh, sorry. Arrowhead at Government Employees Health Association field.
That should be a new chant. Like, they should get all those words together and get a chant going.
Yeehaw. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Jeff in Detroit. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind?
What up, though? One time for chat row. McLovin's snark is very strong today. The snark is strong with that one.
Yeah.
Happy Meat Friday to you guys. Congratulations to Tyler on his promotion to Smoke Master General. Listen, in chat row, we have a birth. Robert Fortson, baby weighing in at 8 pounds, 20 inches. Big fan of Dan Patrick. So, yeah, 8 pounds, 20 inches. There we go. And also, Dan, just real quick. I want to know at the end of the 2021 season, in reference to the big man situation, will we be saying that his farewell tour went down the way it was supposed to be, or that he stayed 1 year too long? Because I really don't see them going anywhere with that whole situation.
Well, like, I don't know how. Thank you, Jeff. Have a good weekend. I don't know how good they are. If they don't re-sign Bud Dupree, you know, he's got some receivers. Deontay Johnson has the yips. Do they have an established true running back? Or are they going to do it running back by committee? They lost Pouncey. They're not a bad team, but I think they're the third best team in their own division. And if you got Ben at that price and, you know, I don't think this is like Kobe. When Kobe was with the Lakers and he was making all that money the last 2 years, but they weren't any good, you know, Laker fans would still come out to see Kobe. I don't know if Steeler fans are going, hey, we're not going anywhere, but let's go out and see Ben one more time. I don't get that feeling. But maybe, you know, Ben, first half of the season, played pretty well. I have his first 9 games. He had 22 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and his quarterback rating was 103. The last 7 games, 15 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and his quarterback rating was 83.7.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Ben also needs 4 more touchdown passes to become the 8th quarterback all time with 400 touchdowns or more. Yes, McLovin.
I looked up the box score of that game to Cleveland. Guess how many yards he threw for in that game? 501.
Yeah.
Which shows how, and four interceptions, by the way. He must, he threw it 68 times.
Yes. I don't know how strong his arm is. I don't know how strong his arm needs to be. But, you know, you start to see Breeze and Phillip Rivers. And, I mean, this is the normal, you know, de-evolution of a quarterback. You know, you may lose your mobility. Well, these are quarterbacks that didn't have mobility. Now you lose that arm strength. And, you know, you saw that with the Saints. The defensive backs were not afraid of the Saints at all. Oh, by the way, let me see. Let me get to Sophie in Los Angeles, and I want to go get my phone because I have the scouting report. I have a scout's notes on Trevor Lawrence. Oh, so let's bring in Sophie, who joins us from Los Angeles. Hi, Soph.
Good evening. Sorry, good morning, Dan. I'm wishing my day away here. It's been a long time. Great to hear your voice. I just wanted to throw something at you because there's always so much talk about NFL players and superstars in NFL. But I hope you saw, and I'm sure Seton may have told you, that Weston McKennie signed for Juventus, an $18.5 million deal. The young player was an FC Dallas Academy. He's now playing for the old lady. He's had 14 starts in Serie A, 4 goals, 2 assists. He's played in the Champions League 6 times, had an amazing scissor kick versus Barcelona in the group stages of the Champions League. He's going to be in the Coppa Italia final. He now joins players like Christian Pulisic at Chelsea, Gio Reyna at Dortmund, Sergiño Dest at Barcelona, and, of course, Tyler Adams at RB Leipzig. There's an amazing crop of young Americans in Europe who are the golden generation, I think, can be better than the likes of Clint Dempsey and Landon Donovan, Jose Altidore, and that era. So but, please but keep Sophie, your eye on them. Give them a shout and some love.
Sophie, all I care about is Ted Lasso.
Is he not the legend of all legends? What a show.
How does that show come off as somebody who loves soccer? How... You know, hopefully they have a sense of humor, but how does Ted Lasso come off, do you think?
Oh, no, we love it because, as I'm sure you know, it was a skit on NBC when the Premier League coverage was kicking in and he had this moment with Jose Mourinho and like even my good friend Rebecca Lowe interviewed him early on. And then the show kind of, you know, went on from there and they developed a series. Soccer fans absolutely love it. They think it's hilarious. He's brilliant in that role. Huge fan of Sudeikis, and I'm so happy that he won the Golden Globe as well. And the fact that they're filming season 2, long may it continue. We love it. It's absolutely brilliant.
Sophie, have a great weekend. Always great to hear from you.
You too, mate. Take care.
All
love
right.
To the boys.
Cheers. I had this from, this is Scout, who is breaking down Trevor Lawrence, his game film. And these are just some of his notes that he gave me, because I was curious, like, what are you writing down? And how much are you writing down? Very little rust in, you know, when he was versus Pittsburgh and Virginia Tech. Decisive passer, gets it out quickly. Able to rope throws 40 yards down the field into tight spots. Deep field range, 60-plus yards. Unselfish runner with vision and speed. Experience reading defenses pre-snap. Confident decision-making, occasionally throws into coverage and tight windows. Talks about size, height, competitiveness. Very good athlete with speed, quick feet, balance, body control, dual threat quarterback. Let's see, what else does he say? Moves his feet with his eyes and works through progressions with concentration versus pressure. Excellent anticipation. Impressive second reaction movement to throw well under duress and extend plays. Lethal throwing on the run, especially to his left, with down the field accuracy. Fearless on design runs, scrambles with speed, avoid strength and finish. Has taken hard hits, bounces right back up. And then the scout underlines the percentage, completion percentage of 69.2%. Now, he had other things in there. There were a couple things in there that he said, you know, you can't share. But And you have a lot of these teams who are scouting. Like, they do this anyway because you're going to be facing these players. A lot of times you'll bring in a player to interview them. Even though you know you're not going to draft them, they want to know who you are, what you're all about. And that's what teams do. Jacksonville's taking Trevor Lawrence, but that doesn't stop teams from scouting them. Belichick famously does this, where he wants to look at you because eventually he's going to be playing you, facing you. Who are you? What are you all about? Yeah, McLovin.
There's one note you said in there. Did you say unselfish runner?
Yes.
I didn't understand that. I mean, sounds like a positive.
Yeah. Well, I think he had the one moment, and it might have been against Syracuse, where he stayed inbounds to try to get a couple extra yards, and he got hurt. This is a couple of years ago. And I thought, what are you doing? You don't need to get three more yards against Syracuse. You got to get out of bounds. You're a big guy, big target. All right, we'll take a break. Close up shop after this. What we learn, what's in store for next week. And we're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. If you're watching on Peacock, it's pulled pork time here, as it always is on Friday, coming off the Traeger Grill. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Close up shop on this Friday. Send this out to Heather in Denver and her family. We love you, Heather. Long, long time fan. Here's Arcade Fire. Been doing this a long time, and you have fans that, you know, they become part of the program, and Heather in Denver is one of those special people. I remember when I was at ESPN and she called into the show, I think she had just had her first child, if I'm correct on that. Seton, you might remember, but I think Heather called in to make the announcement or let us know that she had just had a baby. Yeah. But going through some things there, but just want to let you know, Heather, we're thinking about you. Meat Friday, TraegerGrills.com/DP Show. Start shopping or check out one at a dealer near you. Final results of the poll question, McLovin.
What should we do about NFL overtime? 38% say go to college overtime.
Yeah, I know. That's usually the response we get. I hate going down that rabbit hole when we talk about overtime. We came up with no overtime during the regular season. You know, if it ends in a tie, it ends in a tie, and that's it. And, you know, we got people to respond in overtime. Yeah, Paulie.
It got a lot of good responses, a concept, but then a lot of people didn't like the soccer comparison. The idea of any sporting match ending in a tie is kind of the unpopular opinion of that.
I get it. I mean, you want some finality. You want a winner and a loser. But I think it does, instead of playing for overtime, it keeps a little. It has a little bit more of a frenetic pace there towards the end of regulation. Yes, Seton.
But isn't there still? It's still possible in the NFL for games to end in a tie.
Yeah.
So it's like it already exists.
Yeah, we had that with the Bengals and the Eagles earlier this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
If you want to take part in our March Madness Celebrity Bracket Challenge, you can be thrown into the deep end of the pool with everybody. You can compete with the likes of Shaq Barrett is going to be with us. We got guys' tag team. Jake from State Farm is there. Jim Parsons, Darius Rucker, Brian Cranston. I mean, it's a random list. Chris Webber's in it. Bob Costas, Mark Cuban, John Oates of Hall & Oates.
Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada.
I don't think so, Paulie.
He's in.
I don't think so. Yeah,
with this list, it would make sense.
Yeah, but you and the we're going to have a link, but if you're on the newsletter, then you'll get first crack to be involved in this. But we want as many people as possible to be involved. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter at danpatrick.com. That recaps everything we do. Comes out at 6 Eastern and 3 Pacific. I think Pippa Middleton.
I told you.
Is
sister.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, I think Pippa Middleton. She's the sister of
Kate Middleton.
Yeah. I think Pippa, big college hoop fan. Pippa, crazy college hoop fan. Crazy.
Oh, the interview. You set me up to talk about the interview this weekend.
With Oprah?
Yeah, you and me are the only ones who understand how important this is.
Yeah, there was no topics that were off limits between Oprah and Prince Harry and his wife. Yes.
And the Queen is giving a talk 2 hours. The Queen and William are going on national TV 2 hours before to preempt the interview.
But I like how they're investigating this. Was, you know, what's her name? Harry's wife?
Meghan Markle?
Meghan Markle. That Meghan Markle was rude to the staff at the palace or whatever, wherever it is. I hope they do the same kind of investigating with, you know, Prince Andrew, with everything that he's involved in. And I just hope that they're fair, you know, with Meghan Markle, with what she's going through. We're going to investigate this. Did she bully the staff here? Okay. I mean, just make sure you investigate, you know, Prince Andrew with all he's going through. Just a suggestion there. Yes, Pauline.
What other reason is there to be royal than to be mean to a staff of underlings? Isn't that the entire concept of it?
It's like, hold up. Like, she wasn't, like, there was no guillotine involved. That was pretty rude.
Yeah, she wasn't sending to the chambers
like Anne Boleyn.
Yeah.
I mean, that was rude.
Yes.
You know, okay, now, did she use the wrong fork?
That of order? Yes.
Yeah, maybe.
My coffee is cool. You're off to the gallows.
Off with her head.
Off to the gallows. That's what you're supposed to be when you're royal, right? Old days.
Oh, I always think of Lord when I think about royals.
What's her second best song?
I think the extended play of Royals. When they combine the songs of Hotel California and Royals by Lord, that was the second song. By the way, it's very good. Yes, McClellan.
So Pippa Middleton will probably have Butler going all the way.
Oh, okay. Or Todd?
Yeah, there's got to be. I was trying so hard for a second one. I can't come up with anything.
I don't have one. Put me on the spot.
Oh, Duke.
Oh, there you go. Wow. Whoa,
but they're not in it. They're not going to be in the tournament.
She'll make sure that they get in. Absolutely. St. John's, aren't they in Queens?
It's all coming together.
Yes, it is. I think we've all got it here. Paulie, this day in sports history.
I'm going to go old school, Dan. 1924, Frank Carunia of Buffalo, New York, became the first bowler to roll two perfect games in a row.
Hmm.
That's it. I want to put him on a, you know, stage and get it all to himself.
Okay, you're right. He deserves that's an appropriate reaction.
You know what he said after doing that? Who do you think you are? I am.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Just like, who do you think you are? I am.
Todd, what did you learn today?
Mike Florio thinks the Steelers are delusional if they think they've got a championship team right now with Big Ben.
McLovin.
The UFO debate rages on.
Seton O'Connor.
When Ernie Johnson wins an Emmy, he thinks, wow, how did that happen?
Yeah.
You think, how did that happen?
Paulie.
Pippa Middleton in the bracket contest. Who knew?
I believe that's who it is. Todd, what did I learn?
The Lakers' Alex Caruso turned down participation in the dunk contest.
Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond. From their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, and support crew, Mercedes-Benz vans are built, equipped, engineered. Get ready for anything. Go the extra mile. Take the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Have a great weekend, everybody. Can't wait to talk to you again on Monday. Dan Patrick Show. Oh, but wait, there's one more item here. And it's rare when I say this, but I will be skipping my Built Bar today because it's Meat Friday. And it's rare when that happens because Built Bar is great for that in-between meals, or maybe you want to supplement that for a meal, or you don't have time. Built Bar is a protein bar, best tasting protein bar you'll find. Salted caramel should be illegal, but there's so many other choices here. Mint brownie, cookies and cream, coconut.
Do they have a pulled pork?
They do not have a pulled pork Built Bar yet.
Because as I say, you could supplement that in for Meat Friday.
I could.
If you wanted to.
I like that. Well, check out all the delicious. Before Seton interrupted me, check out all the delicious flavors at BuiltBar.com. Promo code DP20. Get 20% off your first order. You really aren't going to believe how great these flavors are. And remember, it's a protein bar. BuiltBar.com. Promo code DP20. Get 20% off. BuiltBar.com. Enter the promo code DP20.